Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. It's great to be with you this morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7. And this morning, I want to continue from the theme I left off last week of looking at God's love for us. Because I do believe that if all of us can comprehend as much as we can this side of eternity, how much we're loved by God, we will start behaving differently. So last week I spoke about three things if we want to experience that abundant love. First of all, knowing that we are a child of divine love. These were the words of Desmond Tutu, and that we don't need to prove ourselves to God. God is with us and we are already loved. And then that we have this gracious opportunity each and every day to change through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we hopefully are changed more and more into the image and likeness of God. And then I spoke about how we serve a living God who still speaks today, and that we need to start listening with the Word of God, the Bible, but there are multiple ways in which God still speaks to us. As I continue talking about God's love and how we can move from fear to love when we begin to understand how much God loves for us, I'm going to move into Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Immediately here we're seeing a clear divide. Tax collectors and sinners, open to learning from Jesus, and then we have the teachers of the law and the Pharisees on the other side being judgmental and perhaps close to what Jesus is wanting to share. And we need to make sure that we're not like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that we are always open to God because God is always doing something new. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country, go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. He calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. So here for me, we see God's love in action. God cares about everyone. God loves everyone. God doesn't want any one of us to get lost. But we also, I think, get a warning not to be too self-righteous. Even those we don't approve of are loved by God, and there's rejoicing in heaven over them more than that of the righteous people who don't need to repent. So it's just a little warning for us, if you like, not to judge people and to remember God celebrates when they come back. And sometimes, as we'll see later, we can be a little resentful that God celebrates and welcomes them back into the fold. And then we have the parable of the lost coin. Well, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? I know I've done this on many occasions when I've lost something. And when she finds it, she calls her friends, neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. When we look at these two parables, and I'll look at the third one just now, but these two, what do we see so far? Jesus doesn't just mix with the elite in society, the people we would expect him to. He mixes with all people, and it takes us back to what Tutu said. Jesus meets us where we are. And when one is lost and turns back to God, there's great rejoicing in heaven. And I believe that these people call their neighbors and call their friends to celebrate. It means we should be celebrating with God when one person turns back, and not looking and saying, "How can God forgive that person?" We just need to be careful of that. So underlying all of the parables for me is a warning for us not to be self-righteous, not to judge others, but to rejoice with God when people turn back to God. And you may say, what has this got to do with me? Well, I think while we might not transgress in the same way that some people do as we look at them, I think all of us have areas, as I said last week, that need conversion, that need transformation. And in small ways, we do transgress. And all that is required, and this is the good news, all that is required is that we turn back to God, and even the angels of God will rejoice with us. I just think that's amazingly good news. Coming up now on the Mighty Hot 102.7, blessed be the Lord God Almighty.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. And if you've just joined me, welcome. It's great to be with you. I'm continuing this week on the theme of God's love and care for us. And we've looked briefly at two parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and how there is so much rejoicing in heaven when one who is lost is found. And I have said that we should be joining in that rejoicing and perhaps not been resentful that someone's been forgiven what they did. Let's move on into Luke chapter 15, and we're going to see this even more strongly here. It's a very familiar parable, a parable I like to call the loving father, not the prodigal son, because actually, when we look at it a bit more deeply, both sons are prodigal sons, human beings like you and I, and I think there might be a bit of both those sons in each of us. As I read the familiar parable, I want you to listen differently. When we look at these three characters, let's look and see what part of us is like the younger child, what part of us is like the older child, and what part of us has been transformed and perhaps is in the process of being transformed into the loving parent, the parent who loves unconditionally. When I look at all three of these, as I've said just now, there are areas in our lives that probably need conversion. Maybe areas where we are rebelling. Perhaps not as publicly like the younger son, but we probably have a few areas that we need to let go of or allow God in so that they can be transformed. We probably also have areas where we harbor resentment, if we're really honest and look a bit more deeply, and these also need conversion. So as we listen to this parable, I want you to listen carefully and imagine all three of those characters within you, especially the brothers. And let's ask God to reveal to each of us where we need conversion, but more importantly, let God reveal to us how much God loves us and how we then need to love others. So it's a parable of the loving father. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me a share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Let's not forget, this was an honor-shame society. A son coming to the father and asking for his estate while the father was still alive, that was a shameful thing, and it would bring shame on the entire family, especially the father. And yet the father does it. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and they squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So now you can imagine, he's gone from extreme wealth, under the protection of his father's household, out on his own, brought shame on his father, taking everything. He squandered everything he has, and now he's starving. He comes to his senses and he says, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I'm going to set out, go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you.'" So he recognizes he's sinned against God and against his father. He's no longer worthy to be a son. "Make me like one of your hired servants." And he gets up and he goes to his father. So here we have this young son who finally comes to his senses and turns back, not wanting to come as a son. So he's already learned humility. He's recognizing what he did was completely wrong. He's lived badly. He's brought shame on his father, and he doesn't deserve to be a son. So when we look deeper at ourselves, are we always obedient? Are there areas of our lives where we need conversion? I'm not sure what you think, but I'm sure there's always in my life, I know, areas where I need conversion. So perhaps there is a bit of the younger son in all of us. And what I love about the younger son is that he does humble himself. He goes back to his father offering to be a servant. He has really learned his lesson. Now, I don't know if you've seen it in shops, but this younger son, whenever I think about him, he reminds me of the children who run away from their parents in shops. They're so full of bravado. They sprint off, parents screaming, shouting, calling them back. But then they kind of get to a place and you see sudden sort of fear in their faces. They look around, they don't know anyone, and they sprint back to their parent. I think that's what this younger son is like. I also had a child who was fiercely independent, who used to say, "Me do it," from when they were little. Whenever I said, "Could I help? Please could I help? Please could we speed this process up? Me do it. Me do it self." And then, of course, sometimes they couldn't and they'd have to turn and ask for help. And as a loving parent, please remember we don't say, "I told you so." We say with pleasure. We show grace and love, not pointing out their mistake. So what I love about this father is he never stopped looking for his son and he runs to meet him. That's how much God loves you and I. The minute we turn back to God, God is there. In fact, God has never left. So we are told while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, which means his father was looking for him. Filled with compassion, he ran to his son, threw his arms around and kissed him and welcomed him back into the fold. And that's what God does for you and I. Whenever we recognize something that needs change, we confess it, we repent, we turn around and turn back to God, God runs towards us with open arms. The son says to him, Father, I've sinned against God and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he says, so, you know, can I just be a servant? And the father says to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast to celebrate. For the son of man was dead and is alive. He was lost and found. And so they begin to celebrate. Now, I want us to pause here for a moment and reflect. Just reflect on this, because this is our God that we serve. This is what Jesus is telling us about God's love for us. That God is looking out for us all the time. God longs for us to turn back to God, to be wrapped in God's arms, and we are children of divine love, as Desmond Tutu said. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High Living God. Let's just hold on to that thought as we listen to You Raise Me Up on the Mighty Hot 102.7.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
You Raise Me Up on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it is good to be with you. This morning, we've looked at two parables, the lost coin and the lost sheep, and we're halfway through the parable that I like to call the parable of the loving father, but is usually referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. When we look at the lost sheep, when we look at the lost coin, I can relate to that. I can sometimes drive myself mad searching the house, turning it upside down, looking for something that I've lost. Generally, it might be an earring or something like that. And I can't rest until I find it. And when I do find it, I am ecstatic. I wonder if you've had that experience, where it doesn't matter how much else you've got, but when you find that one lost thing, you're absolutely ecstatic. How much more valuable are our souls to God? So when we look at the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, we see exactly that theme. Then we look at the parable of the loving father. We've looked at the younger son, and I suggested that maybe we need to look a little deeper, and there's something of the younger son in all of us. And now we're going to encounter the older son. And I think if we really look, he's also a prodigal son. And there is something of that in us too. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fattened calf because of him. He's back safe and sound. Now, instead of rejoicing, and I said, please remember in the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep, all the people rejoice with the person. Instead of rejoicing with his father, the older brother becomes angry and refuses to go in. The father goes out, pleads with him, but he answers his father, look, after all these years, I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? Here's the son, really angry with his father. But what I love, and we need to note, is that the father goes out to the son too. He actually goes out to the son too, to find out, come, please come, come and celebrate with us. Please don't be angry. My son, says the father, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Looking at the older son, he's lost in another way, I think. He's lost because of his resentment and wanting a reward for what he's doing right. One wonders where his heart is. He's not free in his relationship with God because of his resentment. He's not free in his relationship with his father because of his resentment. And one wonders if he's actually obedient out of a good space or if he's obedient because he wants the reward. And there is a difference. I think I've often said that God loves a joyful giver. We need to give to God because we want to give to God, not because of what we want in return. So this is where I see it here. And resentment, I'm sure we'll all agree, is a very dangerous emotion. It causes masses, family rifts, deep unhappiness. And I think we do need to ask ourselves why we do what we do. And do we love our family just because we love our family, or do we love our family because we're demanding something in return? And on a lighter note, when I was working at a big insurance company, I was a medical underwriter. I used to read the ECGs and all the medical tests. And I used to be given twice as much work as anyone else. I did it because I have a deep sense of responsibility, but I didn't do it with grace. And I went to my manager one day and I said, it's not fair. Look at all this work you give me. And he said to me, that's what we love about you, Shona, is that you just put your head down and do it. But we know that deep down inside, you're actually not happy about doing it. And from that day on, I had to relook at myself and say, okay, if I'm going to do it, let me do it with grace. So when we look at this older son, he's not filled with grace. And this resentment can be deep-seated and cause damage to us. We all need to be on guard for it and truly be happy for others when they are blessed. Perhaps one of the best cures for resentment is to ask God to show you how much God has forgiven you and how much God has blessed you. And I find it becomes much easier then to forgive others for real or perceived hurts and injustices that we may have experienced because of them. So we need to let it go. We need to truly rejoice when people turn around and come back to God. Lastly, let's look at the Father, because we call to be transformed more and more into the image and likeness of God. And obviously in this parable, the Father is God. And it's a parable Jesus is telling us. What do we see? We see that God is always looking out for us. We need to always be looking out for our children. We see that God is always running towards the children, going out to them. We need to sometimes take that first step to bridge the gap where there's been a hurt, where there's been some sort of division. We see a Father of forgiveness, of grace, of love, of joy. I'm always moved by this parable because the Father is loving to both sons. He shows us the way we need to live, not judging each other, but from a heart of love. And if we remember that we are children of divine love, it makes it much easier for us to respond in this way. So let's try and live that, and let's try and remember that whenever we feel ourselves filled with resentment or whenever we want to rebel. And let us remember that we need to, when people hurt us, respond in the way that this Father does. To wrap up this morning, this is my desire and all heaven declares on the Mighty Heart 1027. Thank you so much for listening to me. I hope you have a great week.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 1027.